Hello, everyone. My name is Carla Casulo. I'm an associate professor at the University of Rochester in upstate New York. I'm really happy to greet all of you from all around the world, my fellow colleagues in hematology, and I'm really excited to talk to you today about some updates from the ASH annual meeting. I am a lymphoma specialist at the University of Rochester, and my focus is on I see all forms of lymphoma, but my research focus is on follicular lymphoma and on Hodgkin lymphoma. So I'm really happy to be with you today. I'm going to be talking about a couple of abstracts that I thought were really interesting from the 2023 ASH annual meeting. And I would encourage all of you to go to the ASH website if you want to learn more about some of these abstracts that we'll be talking about today. So the first abstract that I'd like to talk to you about today was initially presented at the ASCO plenary session by Alex Herrera at the City of Hope. And that was a really interesting study in Hodgkin lymphoma that compared AVD with brentuximab vedotin, which is a CD30 drug antibody conjugate, against AVD with nivolumab in patients with Hodgkin lymphoma. And what we found is that AVD with nivolumab resulted in a better progression-free survival for patients with Hodgkin lymphoma. So this year at ASH, my colleague Sarah Rutherford from Cornell presented the same work, but in patients over the age of 60. And in this study, there were almost 100 patients over the age of 60, where the both arms were compared, nivolumab with AVD compared to brentuximab with AVD. And we found that in patients over the age of 60, the progression-free survival for nivolumab with AVD was much better compared to brentuximab with AVD. The survival for nivolumab with AVD was 95% at 1 year, compared to 83% with brentuximab with AVD. And not only that, it was much less toxic, and there was a much lower rate of treatment discontinuation. So, in my opinion, this is a practice-changing abstract because it suggests that treating older patients with Hodgkin lymphoma with nivolumab, which is a checkpoint inhibitor, combined with AVD, is safer and less toxic. So, that was the first abstract that I found was really interesting from the ASH annual meeting. The second one I thought was very interesting was looking at the role of vitamin D in indolent lymphoma. And this was presented by Jonathan Friedberg at my institution at the University of Rochester. And what we found from that study is that I'll just review it for you. So this had over 200 patients with indolent lymphoma and patients who had either low tumor burden follicular lymphoma or marginal zone lymphoma or SLL were included. And patients were treated with either rituximab monotherapy weekly for 4 doses or rituximab in combination with vitamin D. The rituximab monotherapy arm had a placebo, so it was rituximab placebo versus rituximab with vitamin D. And the rationale for this study is that prior work had shown that patients with follicular lymphoma who were deficient in vitamin D had poor outcomes, decrease in progression-free survival. And so this study was looking to see whether vitamin D supplementation is a modifiable risk factor for survival in indolent lymphoma. The study, unfortunately, was a negative study in that there was no association with vitamin D supplementation on outcome in indolent lymphoma. So, in other words, it suggests that perhaps vitamin D deficiency is more of a surrogate for illness and comorbidity and is not a modifiable risk factor. So, this might put to rest the question of does vitamin D supplementation help patients with indolent lymphoma have better outcomes? And the answer to that is no. So, that was another really interesting study. The other two studies that I wanted to highlight focus on the use of anti-CD19 CAR T-cell therapies. I'll just summarize both of them. So one of them was by Frank Morschhauser from France, and the other one was from Steven Schuster at the University of Pennsylvania. As a lot of you probably know, there are several different CAR T cell products that are approved for follicular lymphoma and for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And these two studies look at the role of tisagenlecleucel, which is one CAR T cell product already approved in the United States and in Europe for adult patients with relapsed and refractory follicular lymphoma. So this was the long-term follow-up of this phase two study. And what we see is that overall response rate was 68% for patients with multiply relapsed follicular lymphoma. Progression-free survival at 3 years was 53%. And we found that this was effective in people with early relapse or POD24. And it continued to have very promising results for patients with relapsed and refractory follicular lymphoma. So that was tisagenlecleucel, which I said is already approved in the US for this disease. The other one that is not yet approved is called lisocabtagene. And this was presented by Dr. Morschhauser. This was a global phase two study, similarly focusing on follicular lymphoma, but also patients with high-risk disease like primary refractory follicular lymphoma or POD24. And what they found similarly is that the 12-month duration of response was 89%, progression-free survival was over 90%, and it seemed like the rates of cytokine release syndrome were moderate, and the risk of neurologic events, which is a common toxicity in using these types of therapies, occurred fortunately in a small subset of patients, about 17%. Very low rates of severe toxicity. So it suggests that both lisocabtagene, which is the one unapproved yet CAR T cell therapy, and tisagenlecleucel both are very promising in follicular lymphoma. I will switch gears a little bit now to talk about bispecific antibodies. There are several bispecific antibodies that have been approved for patients with relapsed large cell lymphoma and one for follicular lymphoma in the United States. So, bispecific antibodies, you probably remember, have been really looked at and studied over the last couple of years, going back to 2019 ASH annual meeting for patients with relapsed lymphoma. And these drugs focus on targeting CD20 and CD3. Mosunetuzumab is one bispecific antibody that's approved in follicular lymphoma, and epcoritamab, as well as glofitamab, have been approved for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma in the United States. So what we learned about is that some researchers at the university, again by Dr. Frank Morschhauser from France and Dr. Lorenzo Falchi at Sloan Kettering, we're looking at whether we could use some of these bispecific antibodies in first-line follicular lymphoma. And what we learned is that mosunetuzumab single agent alone or in combination with lenalidomide both had very promising rates of high response rates at or above 90%. So while this is very much in the exploratory phase, I'm very excited about these studies because I think that it might lead to more research on different drugs such as these used in earlier lines of therapy for follicular lymphoma. The next one was glofitamab, and this was a phase two study in relapsed and refractory large cell lymphoma. So glofitamab is given for 12 cycles. It's one of the only fixed duration bispecific antibodies that is out there right now. And in this study, most patients remained progression-free and alive at 18 months after completing this fixed duration therapy. 55% of patients remained in remission at 24 months. And it's one of the things that you might want to look at is the New England Journal paper that was published on glofitamab recently in large cell lymphoma. And I think that what this study told us is that there was no new safety signals. It looked like fixed duration therapy was appropriate and successful for most of these patients with large cell lymphoma. So I think it's very interesting to see where glofitamab is going to fit in the landscape of large cell lymphoma. And then the last study I'd like to talk about is focusing on gastric malt lymphoma. This was a very interesting study that I had the privilege of moderating in the indolent lymphoma session. And this was presented by investigators at the MD Anderson Cancer Center. And they looked at patients with gastric malt treated with radiation only to grade twice in a risk-adapted approach. So patients first started with 2 gray of radiation twice, so 4 gray total to areas of gastric malt. And if they didn't have a complete response after an assessment, they went on to receive 20 gray of radiotherapy. And what the investigators found is that the vast majority of patients were able to only receive 2 gray twice of radiation, which is really exciting because it suggests that that may be a sufficient dose for patients with gastric malt. We already have prior data in other forms of indolent lymphoma, not just gastric malt, that suggests that 2 gray twice can result in a long progression-free survival for patients. 24 gray, which is the standard dose for most indolent lymphoma, is highly effective and lasts longer. But there are a subset of patients that if they respond soon, early, as suggested by these investigators, they may not need any more radiotherapy. So those are the abstracts that I was most excited about this year. Again, I would encourage you to go to the ASH website and follow some of these studies and read up on some of the other background data that we talked about today. But I'm really happy to share this data with you. And I thank you so much for your attention.